Good evening, dreamers, and welcome back to Mr. Sandman, where sleep is a luxury and nightmares are inevitable. Tonight, we uncover a story drenched in darkness and steeped in fear, a tale of a group of teenagers, a forgotten basement, and a discovery that should have stayed hidden. In the dim light of a creaking old house, a Ouija board awakens something ancient, something malevolent. Shadows grow longer, whispers turn sinister, and reality begins to crumble. This is a story that will leave your heart racing and your mind questioning what lies just beyond the veil. So, dim the lights, pull the blankets tight, and prepare yourself for whispers from the board. Let the nightmare begin. The house loomed over them like a sentinel of time, its weathered siding peeling away as if trying to shed decades of memories. Sarah stood in the driveway, arms crossed, staring at the place she'd spent countless summer afternoons as a child. But today, the warmth she once associated with her grandmother's house felt suffocating, replaced by a heavy silence that pressed against her chest. "Still can't believe she's gone," she murmured, more to herself than to the others. Jack, tall and wiry with a perpetual smirk that masked his nervous energy, stepped beside her. "Yeah, she was tough as nails. Thought she'd outlive all of us." Mia, Sarah's best friend since middle school, placed a comforting hand on her shoulder. Her presence had always been calming, with her soft voice and empathetic gaze. "We'll help you get through this," she said. Cole, the group's resident jokester, leaned against his beat-up truck, flicking a lighter open and shut in rapid succession. "Cleaning out an old lady's house, not exactly how I wanted to spend my weekend," he quipped, though his tone lacked its usual bite. "Hey," Rebecca snapped, glaring at him. Her sharp tongue and no-nonsense demeanor often kept the group in line. "Show some respect." Sarah managed a weak smile. "Thanks for being here, guys. It's just, there's a lot of stuff, and Mom can't handle it alone." Her mother had been inconsolable since the funeral, leaving Sarah to shoulder the responsibility of clearing out the house. They entered through the back door, which creaked on its rusted hinges. The scent of mothballs and dust filled the air, mixed with something faintly sweet, like lilacs. Sarah's grandmother had loved lilacs. The kitchen looked frozen in time, its yellowed wallpaper peeling at the edges. Sarah paused by the table, running her fingers over the grooves in the wood where her grandmother's sewing machine had once sat. "I thought this would feel nostalgic," she said, "but it just feels empty." Jack clapped her on the back, perhaps a little too hard. "Then let's make it less empty. Where do we start?" Sarah led them to the basement door. "Mom said most of the stuff is down here." Rebecca wrinkled her nose. "Basements are always creepy. Why couldn't your grandma hoard stuff in the attic like normal old people?" Cole smirked. "Maybe she kept her zombie army down there." "Not funny," Sarah said, rolling her eyes. She flipped the light switch, but nothing happened. "Great, bulb's out." Jack pulled out his phone and turned on the flashlight. "Lead the way, fearless leader." The wooden stairs groaned under their weight as they descended. The basement smelled even mustier than the rest of the house, with a damp chill that made Sarah shiver. Shelves lined the walls, crammed with old mason jars, books, and boxes, labeled in her grandmother's meticulous handwriting. They worked in relative silence for a while, shifting boxes and sorting through items to keep, donate, or toss. It was Jack who found it. "Hey, check this out." His voice echoed in the stillness. Sarah turned to see him holding a wooden box. The edges were blackened as if it had been burned, and strange symbols were carved into the lid. He flipped the latch and opened it to reveal the Ouija board inside, the letters and numbers etched deeply into the wood. "Nope," Mia said, immediately backing away. "Oh, come on," Cole said, grinning. "What's the worst that could happen?" Sarah hesitated, memories flooding back. Her grandmother had been deeply superstitious, always warning her to never mess with things she didn't understand. But curiosity flickered in her chest, outweighing her caution. "It's just a game," Jack said, already setting the board on an old card table. Sarah bit her lip. "Fine, but just for a minute, then we get back to work." The group gathered hesitantly around the table, the dim light from their phones casting long, flickering shadows across the room. Sarah stared at the board as if it might bite. The letters and numbers gleamed unnaturally, despite the layer of grime that coated the wood. She ran her fingers along the edges, feeling the intricate carvings. "This thing is ancient," Mia said, her voice a whisper, like museum piece ancient. "Or cursed," Rebecca muttered, arms crossed tightly over her chest. Jack raised an eyebrow. "You're not scared, are you?" Rebecca shot him a glare. "I'm not scared. I'm smart. There's a difference." "All right, enough," Sarah said, her tone sharper than she intended. Her nerves were fraying. "It's just a piece of wood." Cole leaned closer, inspecting the symbols burned into the corners. "What's with these marks? They look weird." "Probably decorative," Jack said, though his voice carried a hint of unease. Rebecca shook her head. "Those are runes. My grandma used to have books on stuff like this. They're supposed to, I don't know, ward off evil or something." "Great," Mia whispered. "So why are they on a Ouija board? Doesn't that contradict the point?" The room seemed to grow colder, a draft snaking through the basement despite the lack of windows. Sarah shivered, pulling her hoodie tighter around herself. "All right, now I'm curious," Jack said, breaking the silence. He pulled the planchette from the box, its triangular shape smooth and polished, with a small glass window in the center. He held it up to the light. "Who's in?" "No way," Mia said, stepping back. "Those things freak me out. You've seen the movies?" "Movies aren't real, Mia," Jack said, setting the planchette on the board with a casual confidence that felt forced. Sarah hesitated, a knot of unease twisted in her stomach, but something about the board drew her in. A quiet voice in the back of her mind, one she refused to acknowledge as her grandmother's, whispered a warning. "We don't have to do this," Rebecca said. Sarah nodded, but surprised herself by sitting down at the table. "Let's just see what happens." Jack grinned and took a seat beside her. "That's the spirit, no pun intended." Cole dropped into a chair across from them. "This is going to be awesome." Rebecca groaned but pulled up a chair, her expression a mixture of reluctance and curiosity. "Fine, but if something starts whispering in Latin, I'm out." They all placed their fingers lightly on the planchette. Sarah's heart thudded in her chest as the room seemed to hold its breath. "Okay," Jack said, his voice steady but softer than usual. "Is anyone there?" The planchette didn't move. The silence in the basement deepened, pressing against their ears. "Maybe we're not asking the right questions," Cole said, his tone half joking. "What if we ask for a sign?" Mia, standing a few feet away, crossed her arms tightly. "You shouldn't do that." "Why not?" Jack asked. "Because inviting something to give you a sign feels reckless," she said, her voice trembling slightly. Jack smirked, but didn't press further. "Fine, let's keep it simple. Who are you?" For a moment, nothing happened. Then slowly, the planchette began to move. Sarah froze, her breath caught in her throat. "Okay, who's doing that?" "Not me," Cole said, his voice oddly flat. "I swear I'm not," Jack added, though his usual cockiness was gone. The planchette stopped, resting on the letter H. It slid again, stopping on E, then L, and finally P. "Help," Sarah whispered. The light on Jack's phone flickered and dimmed. The shadows in the corners of the basement seemed to stretch and twist, creeping closer. "I'm done," Mia said, backing toward the stairs. Before anyone could respond, the planchette jerked violently, spinning across the board before stopping dead center. The carved runes around the edges seemed to glow faintly, as if the board itself were alive. The basement door slammed shut, a sound echoing like a gunshot. "Did you see that?" Rebecca whispered, her voice barely audible over the sudden pounding of Sarah's heartbeat. "Of course we saw it," Cole hissed, pushing back his chair so abruptly it scraped against the concrete floor. His bravado was gone, replaced with wide eyes darting toward the sealed door. "It's just the wind," Jack said, but his voice wavered. He tugged at the door handle, yanking it harder with every attempt. "It's stuck." "There are no windows down here," Mia snapped from the shadows. She was pressing herself against the far wall, her flashlight shaking in her hand. "How could it be the wind?" Sarah felt her breath hitch as a low creak echoed from somewhere deep within the basement. It wasn't the groan of settling wood or the hum of old pipes. It was deliberate, rhythmic, like the sound of something heavy dragging across the floor, closer than stopping. "Who's there?" Sarah asked before she could stop herself, her voice trembling. The planchette, untouched, jerked violently across the board. It spelled run. "What the hell?" Rebecca whispered, her knuckles wide as she gripped the edge of the table. "I'm done," Cole said, backing toward the stairs. "This isn't funny anymore." "No one's laughing," Mia said, clutching her phone like a lifeline. The dragging noise started again, louder this time, accompanied by the faint sound of whispering. It came from every corner, bouncing off the walls in a language none of them could understand. "Turn on more lights," Jack said, his voice cracking. "There aren't any," Sarah snapped, fumbling for her phone. Her flashlight beam wavered, catching glimpses of the basement. The dust-covered shelves, the broken jars, the Ouija board glowing faintly on the table. And then something else. In the farthest corner, the shadows seemed to shift unnaturally, pooling together like ink spilling across a page. For a moment, Sarah thought she saw the outline of a figure. Too tall, its limbs unnaturally long and spindly, its head cocked at an impossible angle. "There's something there," Sarah breathed. "Shut up," Cole hissed, pulling at the door again. "Look," she insisted, her flashlight trembling as she aimed it toward the corner. But the beam revealed nothing, just cobwebs and dusty concrete. Jack turned back to the board. "This has to be a prank. It has to be..." The planchette slammed against the table, cracking the wood. The lights on their phones flickered in unison, plunging them into brief but total darkness. When the light stabilized, the board was different. The letters and numbers were gone, replaced with symbols none of them recognized. The runes carved into the edges pulsed like a heartbeat, faintly glowing red. "Put it back in the box," Rebecca said, her voice rising with panic. "Yeah, no kidding," Jack said, scooping up the pieces with trembling hands. But when he tried to close the lid, it wouldn't shut. "I think it's too late for that," Mia whispered, her gaze locked on the shadows pooling behind Sarah. Sarah turned slowly, dread coiling in her stomach. The figure was back, closer now, its head tilting back and forth as if trying to understand her. And then it smiled. It didn't have a face, just a hollow void where one should be, but somehow Sarah knew it was smiling. The whispering grew louder, piercing their ears. Words became clearer, though distorted, like a broken record spinning too fast. "Stay, stay, stay." Jack stumbled backward, knocking over a stack of boxes. "Screw this, we're leaving." "No," Sarah yelled, grabbing his arm. "We can't just run. What if it..." The lights flickered again, and this time, they didn't come back on. Total darkness swallowed them. And then the screaming started. The basement's oppressive darkness consumed everything. A void so complete it seemed to swallow their screams. The group became separated in the confusion, their panicked voices echoing off the concrete walls like distant cries in a cavern. Sarah's heart thundered in her chest as she fumbled through the darkness, her hands scraping against rough concrete. "Jack, Mia, someone, say something," she yelled, her voice cracking. But no one answered. Instead, a faint, guttural sound, drifted through the air, a wet, labored breathing that wasn't hers. She spun, her flashlight beam dancing wildly, but the light seemed swallowed by the dark. Then, from the edge of her vision, she saw it. The figure from before, impossibly tall and crooked, standing just a few feet away. "Get away!" she screamed, backing into a stack of boxes that toppled around her. But the figure didn't move. Its hollow void of a face tilted, curious, as if studying her. Sarah stumbled to her feet, clutching a broken piece of wood like a weapon. The figure's smile grew wider, stretching into the dark, the outline of its teeth razor sharp and impossibly white. And then it lunged. Jack's head throbbed where he'd hit it in the chaos, and his flashlight had shattered on the floor. Crawling on his hands and knees, he groped through the darkness, calling out, "Rebecca, Cole, where are you?" The basement answered with a long, low moan, like metal twisting under strain. A cold hand brushed against his arm. Jack froze, his breath catching in his throat. "Rebecca," he whispered, reaching out. But what his fingers touched was wrong, slick and icy like wet clay. The hand wrapped around his wrist, pulling him with inhuman strength. Jack screamed, digging his heels into the concrete as he was dragged backward. Behind him, a voice rasped, low and guttural. "Come closer. I've been waiting." He turned, his eyes adjusting just enough to make out the thing gripping him. It wasn't human. Its skeletal body was wrapped in a sagging, translucent skin, its hollow eyes boring into him. A jagged grin split its face as it whispered, "Let me in." Jack clawed at the ground, his scream swallowed by the basement's endless void. Mia had bolted when the screaming started, her survival instincts overriding everything else. She found herself pressed against a cold wall, her flashlight flickering as she tried to steady her breathing. "It's not real," she whispered to herself. "This isn't real." But then she saw it, shadows slithering along the walls, pulling at her feet. They rose slowly, taking shape, a dozen faceless forms, their outlines shifting as if made of smoke. They whispered her name in unison, a thousand voices layered into one.
"Mia. Mia. Come join us."
"No," she screamed, swiping at them with her flashlight. The beam cut through the shapes, but did nothing to stop them. One of the shadows reached out, its fingers stretching unnaturally long, curling around her neck. Her flashlight fell from her hand, and as the light rolled away, Mia saw her reflection in its glass lens. But it wasn't her. The face staring back at her was pale, her eyes sunken and empty. Her lips moved silently, mouthing the words, "It's already too late." Rebecca crouched in the far corner of the basement, clutching her phone like a lifeline. Its dim light barely illuminated her shaking hands. She dialed 911 with trembling fingers, but the line was dead, just static on the other end. "Please," she whispered, tears streaming down her face. "Someone help us." From the static, a voice emerged. It was soft, melodic, and eerily familiar. "Rebecca, why didn't you listen?" Her phone screen flickered and an image appeared, a live feed of herself, staring into the screen with wide, terrified eyes. Behind her, a shadow moved. Rebecca spun, dropping her phone. Her flashlight beam caught the briefest glimpse of a figure crawling toward her, its limbs bending at impossible angles, its head tilted sharply to one side. "Stay back," she screamed, grabbing the nearest object, a rusty wrench, and swinging it wildly. The thing stopped, cocked its head, and let out a laugh that sounded like nails scraping on glass. The wrench flew from her hands as the creature lunged, pinning her against the wall. Its mouth opened, impossibly wide, as if it would swallow her whole. Cole was running, though he wasn't sure where. The basement seemed endless, its walls stretching into infinity. He could hear the others screaming, but their voices were distorted, echoing like they were underwater. A light appeared ahead, a faint glow. Desperate, he sprinted toward it, thinking it might be an exit. But as he got closer, he saw it wasn't a door. It was a mirror. He skidded to a halt, staring at his own reflection. But the person in the mirror didn't move the way he did. "Who are you?" Cole whispered. The reflection grinned, its mouth splitting from ear to ear.
"I'm you, but better."
Before Cole could react, the mirror shattered, and from the shards rose dozens of hands, clawing at him, dragging him into the glass. His screams were muffled as his reflection stood on the other side, smiling back at him. The darkness in the basement thickened, consuming the cries of the friends one by one, and then silence. The basement door creaked open, and the faint scent of lilacs wafted through the house. Upstairs, the Ouija board lay untouched on the kitchen table, its symbols burned into the wood. And in the basement, the whispering began again, rising and falling like waves in the oppressive silence. The basement seemed alive, breathing, its shadows pulsing with a dark rhythm. Sarah's screams were the first to break the quiet, sharp, and guttural. She staggered into the center of the room, her clothes torn and blood staining her arms. "It's in my head," she cried, clutching at her temples. Her flashlight flickered weakly, casting distorted shapes on the walls. "Sarah?" Jack's voice trembled as he crawled out of the darkness. His face was pale, his hands trembling uncontrollably. What did it do to you?" Sarah didn't answer. She stared at Jack, her eyes wide and unfocused, as if she wasn't seeing him at all. Rebecca stumbled into view next, her hair disheveled, her breathing ragged. She clutched her arm, a deep gash oozing blood. "Where's Mia? And Cole?"
"They're gone,"
Sarah whispered, her voice hollow. "It took them." "What do you mean, took them?" Jack demanded, his voice rising.
"I saw it," Sarah snapped, her voice breaking. "It dragged them into the shadows. I heard them screaming, and then nothing."
Rebecca shook her head violently, tears streaming down her face. "No, they're still here. We just have to..." A low rumble interrupted her, the sound vibrating through the floor. The runes on the Ouija board began to glow again, brighter this time, casting an eerie red light that filled the room. Jack stepped closer, staring at the board. The symbols had shifted again, forming a single word, "Choose." "What does it mean?" Rebecca whispered, her voice shaking. The basement answered with another rumble, and then a figure stepped forward from the shadows. It was Cole, or at least it looked like him.
"Cole!"
Rebecca shouted, rushing toward him.
"Stop!"
Sarah screamed, grabbing her arm, but it was too late. As Rebecca reached for Cole, his face twisted into something inhuman. His jaw unhinged, stretching impossibly wide, revealing rows of jagged teeth. His arms snapped backward, his fingers elongating into sharp claws. Rebecca's scream was cut short as the creature lunged, its claws raking across her chest. She fell to the floor, gasping as blood pooled around her. Jack grabbed a metal pipe from the ground and swung it wildly, connecting with the creature's side. It howled, retreating into the shadows, its form dissolving like smoke. "We have to get out of here," Jack yelled, pulling Sarah to her feet.
"No,"
Sarah said, shaking her head. "The board, it wants us to play."
"What are you talking about?" Jack demanded.
"Choose," Sarah said, pointing to the glowing word. "It's giving us a choice. One of us stays, or we all die." Jack stared at her, his face pale. "That's insane." The shadows around them began to shift, coalescing into figures that circled them like predators. Their whispers grew louder, their distorted voices chanting,
"Choose, choose, choose."
Sarah grabbed the board, her hands trembling. "It's the only way," she said, tears streaming down her face.
"Sarah, no,"
Jack shouted, but she ignored him. She placed her hands on the planchette, and it began to move, spelling out her name.
"No,"
Jack yelled, grabbing her arm. "We'll find another way."
"There is no other way," Sarah screamed, pulling away. "Don't you get it? This isn't a game. It never was."
The shadows closed in,
their whispers rising to a deafening roar. Sarah looked at Jack one last time, her eyes filled with tears. "Take care of Rebecca," she whispered. Before Jack could stop her, Sarah pressed the planchette to the final rune. The shadow surged forward, enveloping her completely. Her scream echoed through the basement before fading into silence. The red light from the board dimmed, and the oppressive atmosphere lifted. Jack and Rebecca stared at the spot where Sarah had been, her absence a gaping wound in the room. "She's gone," Rebecca whispered, her voice barely audible. Jack nodded, his hands shaking. "We need to leave. Now." Together they stumbled up the stairs, the basement door creaking open as if inviting them out. The house was eerily quiet, the scent of lilacs stronger than ever. As they stepped outside, the cold night air hit them like a wave. Rebecca collapsed onto the porch, sobbing uncontrollably. Jack stood beside her, staring back at the house. "Do you think it's over?" Rebecca asked, her voice trembling. Jack didn't answer. He couldn't. Inside the house, the basement door creaked shut, and in the silence that followed, the faint whispering began again. Jack couldn't shake the feeling that something was still watching them. The house stood silent behind them, a dark silhouette against the night sky, but its presence lingered, heavy and unyielding. "Rebecca, we need to get to the car," Jack said, pulling her to her feet. His voice was firm, but his eyes darted nervously back toward the house. Rebecca wiped her tears, nodding weakly. They made their way toward the driveway, the crunch of gravel beneath their feet, unnaturally loud in the quiet night. The car came into view, a welcome beacon of safety. Jack fumbled with the keys, his trembling hands struggling to fit them into the lock. "Come on, come on," he muttered. A cold breeze swept past them, carrying the faint scent of lilacs. Rebecca froze, her eyes widening. "Do you hear that?" she whispered. Jack stopped, his blood running cold. The whispers were back, faint but unmistakable, drifting on the wind like a sinister lullaby. "Jack, Rebecca, don't leave us." The car's headlights flickered on, casting long, distorted shadows across the driveway. Jack and Rebecca turned, their hearts pounding as the shadows began to twist and writhe, forming grotesque shapes. "We need to go," Jack shouted, yanking the door open and shoving Rebecca inside. He jumped into the driver's seat, starting the engine with shaking hands. The shadows pressed against the car windows, their forms shifting and clawing, faces appearing briefly before melting away. One of them, a tall, crooked figure, leaned close to Rebecca's window, its hollow eyes staring directly at her. "Drive!" Rebecca screamed, covering her face. Jack floored the gas pedal, the car lurching forward. The tires screeched as they sped down the driveway, the house shrinking in the rearview mirror. As they reached the main road, the oppressive feeling began to fade, but neither of them spoke. Jack kept glancing in the rearview mirror, half expecting to see the shadows chasing them. Rebecca stared out the window, her face pale and tear-streaked. "Do you think Sarah's okay?" she asked softly. Jack didn't answer. He couldn't. The road stretched endlessly before them, the car's headlights cutting through the dark. But then, just ahead, they saw something, a figure standing in the middle of the road. Jack slammed on the brakes, the car skidding to a halt. The figure didn't move. "It's just a person," Jack said, trying to convince himself. The figure stepped into the light and their hearts sank. It was Sarah. Her clothes were torn, her face pale, and her eyes empty. She raised a hand, motioning for them to stop. "Sarah!" Rebecca yelled, throwing open her door. "No, wait!" Jack shouted, but Rebecca was already running toward her. As Rebecca reached Sarah, she stopped abruptly. Something was wrong. Sarah's lips curled into a smile, but it wasn't warm. It was jagged, too wide, splitting her face unnaturally. "Rebecca, why didn't you stay?" Rebecca stumbled back, but it was too late. Sarah lunged forward, her hands clawing at Rebecca's throat. Jack's heart raced, his breath coming in ragged gasps. His hands were slick with sweat as he grabbed the tire iron from the back seat, its cold metal biting into his palm. The creature's smile stretched wider, its jaw cracking as if it were breaking apart. "You can't leave, Jack," it growled, its voice guttural and unnatural, like gravel grinding against bone. It wasn't Sarah anymore. Her skin was too pale, too stretched, and her eyes, those hollow, empty sockets, were dark, pools of nothingness that seemed to devour the light. Her body twitched unnervingly, contorting like a broken marionette, limbs jerking in erratic, unnatural motions. Before Jack could react, the creature's long, gnarled hand shot out, fingers elongating into sharp talons, slashing at him with a speed he couldn't predict. The claws raked across his chest, tearing through his shirt and leaving deep gouges in his skin. He howled, stumbling back, but the creature was faster. With a sickening crack, its neck twisted impossibly like rubber bending in a direction no human body could. The creature's head jerked back and forth, its spine audibly cracking as it contorted itself into a grotesque parody of human movement. The skin along its neck stretched and pulled, the veins black and pulsating beneath the surface, as if they were trying to escape its body. Jack swung the tire iron with all his might, the heavy metal connecting with the creature's head with a wet, bone-shattering thud. The force of the blow sent the creature stumbling back, its body buckling unnaturally. Its skull cracked open with a sickening pop, a flood of dark, viscous liquid spilling from the wound, splattering across the ground. The thing shrieked, the sound like nails dragging across a chalkboard, its mouth stretching open to reveal rows of sharp, jagged teeth that weren't even remotely human. The skin around its mouth tore as it howled, revealing more of its true form. Skin peeling back, sinew and muscle exposed in places it shouldn't have been. Its lips bled, but it didn't stop, didn't flinch. Its arm, now bent at an impossible angle, shot forward, the claws swiping across Jack's torso. He felt a searing pain as the talons tore through his flesh, dragging blood across his ribs. The creature hissed again, its body jerking like a marionette caught in a storm of unseen strings. The wound in its head, though deep and grotesque, seemed to heal instantly, skin knitting back together with a sickening, sticky noise. Jack gritted his teeth, his head swimming with pain. He swung again, this time at the creature's neck. The blow landed hard, but instead of severing its head, the creature's neck split open in a jagged, gory tear like a bag of meat being ripped apart. Blood, or something darker, more viscous, poured from the wound, splattering across Jack's face and chest. The creature screeched louder, its sound reverberating through Jack's skull. Rebecca's gasps were like a distant echo as Jack fought, his hands slipping in the dark, sticky mess. The tire iron slipped from his grip, falling to the ground with a metallic clang. But the creature didn't stop. It lunged again, its twisted body moving faster than any human form should. Its claws gripped Jack's shoulder, digging in deep. He felt them tear through his skin like paper, blood pouring down his arm. With his free hand, Jack grabbed the creature's throat, squeezing, trying to choke the life out of it. But its skin was cold and rubbery, giving no purchase, no sign of weakening. In a final frantic effort, Jack reached for anything, anything that could end this. His hand brushed across the broken tire iron, now lying just a foot away. He grabbed it, his fingers slick with blood, and with one last desperate swing, he drove the metal into the creature's chest. The thing shuddered violently, its body spasming as the metal dug deep. Its ribcage cracked open, flesh tearing apart in a sickening, fleshy explosion, dark blood splattering across the car and Jack. The creature's mouth opened wide in a final scream, but instead of air, it released a torrent of black, tar-like fluid, choking on it as its body started to collapse. Jack stumbled back, gasping for breath, his chest heaving in agony. The creature's body dissolved like a nightmare unraveling, its limbs twisted and broke apart, turning to ash before his eyes. The face that had once been Sarah's melted away, leaving nothing but the dark, empty void of its hollow eyes, staring at him one last time. Rebecca was shaking violently, her face pale, blood still staining her clothes. "What the hell was that?" she whispered, her voice cracked. Jack couldn't answer. His whole body screamed in pain, his thoughts spinning in a haze. All he could do was stagger backward, dragging Rebecca with him toward the car. But as they got into the car, Jack glanced in the rearview mirror, his heart skipping a beat. The shadows had shifted again, and something or someone was still standing in the distance, watching. Thank you, dear dreamers, for venturing into the shadows with me tonight. As the echoes of our tales fade into the darkness, remember, some doors are best left unopened, and some whispers best left unheard. If you enjoyed our journey into the unknown, don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Your support fuels these dreams and these nightmares. Until next time, sleep lightly, dream deeply, and beware of the shadows that linger just beyond the light. Good night and sweet dreams.